Welcome to Aiken City Council meeting, December 10th, 2007. We appreciate very much you being here and helping us in doing our agenda on our issues. And if you would, as we begin a meeting, if you desire to stand for our prayer and a pledge of allegiance, please.
Lord Heavenly Father, during this special time of the year, we can look around and see all the problems and all the difficulties going on. But Lord, we're thankful that you've given us so much, and we have so much to be thankful for during this Christmas season. We're thankful for the staff that we have here in the city, all the great citizens who volunteer and who help each other to make this a better community. We're thankful for council and the opportunity to look at the many issues before this community to determine what's best for us, both short-term and long-term. Watch over and guide us tonight as we go through these issues. Give us wisdom and discernment. We thank you for the blessings of this season, and we ask this in your name. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any additions or deletions to the agenda this evening?
I have one addition that I'd like to talk to council. Something came up this morning, and I realized in discussion with an individual that our first meeting in January falls on a city holiday, which is Martin Luther King Day. And so we need to decide if we're going to hold the meeting that night, which is January 14th, I believe, or if we're going to go ahead and hold it the week previously to it. I would say we could skip the meeting, but that's like 6 weeks after this meeting here, since we're only going to hold one meeting in December. So I'd like to add that to the agenda to determine what we want to do in January as far as meeting dates.
Okay. We'll put it. How about number four item under new business? Okay. Do we have a motion and second then to approve for the agenda? Motion?
Second.
Okay. Any other comments? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passage unanimously. Item one in the minutes, consideration of the minutes of the work session in the regular meeting of November 26, 2007. Any comments on the minutes? If not, do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor, I move for approval of the minutes of November 26, as written, work session and the regular meeting.
Okay. I'll second them. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Passes unanimously. Under old business, appointments to boards and commissions. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. We have seven appointments for you tonight. We have appointments here by Mayor Kavanaugh for Joan Bristol as a reappointment and for Bill Reynolds to be a reappointment to the Planning Commission. Councilmember Dewar would like to appoint Charles Herbst to the Design Review Board to replace Philip Mary, and to appoint Peter Siha to the Planning Commission to replace Kay Brawl, who has resigned. Councilwoman Price would like to appoint Mary Suber to the Arts Commission to replace Karen Gordon, who resigned. She would also like to reappoint Leonardo Brooker to the Planning Commission. And Councilmember Smith would like the reappointment of John Halpert to the Environmental Committee and Kay Bodenheimer to the Parks Commission. And last, we have Councilmember Wells would like to recommend the reappointment of Lynn Henry to the Design Review Board.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor, that we approve these boards and appointments.
Second.
Okay, we have a second. Any discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Okay.
And Mr. Mayor, just for your information for the rest of the council, figuring that you were going to appoint Mr. Sia to the Planning Commission, we did send him the agenda because the Planning Commission meeting is tomorrow night.
Yes, he did get that. Unfortunately, he had a prior commitment.
Oh, okay.
The meeting.
Okay. Are there any other nominations for some of the other boards? Okay. Item 2, selection of the Mayor Pro Tem for 2008. Mr. LeDuc.
Yes, sir. Every couple of years, we select a Mayor Pro Tem to fill in, who fills in when the mayor is not available to attend various functions, to preside over the city council meeting, and to go to various meetings that a lot of times there might be even two meetings at one time. Councilmember Smith was our appointment. His term expires on December 31st, and since we are not going to be meeting till at least the first or second Monday in January, I thought it would be good for council to go ahead and to fill in his position. In the past, we've done this on seniority, and if that's the case, then Councilwoman Waters would be the next council member to fill this position. So for your consideration tonight is the approval of Councilwoman Waters to serve as Mayor Pro Tem starting January 1, 2008, with the term to expire December 2009.
Right. Okay. Do we have a motion and second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor, that we approve the selection of Mayor Pro Tem as Jane Waters.
Second. We have a second. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor. Okay. Congratulations, I think, right? Item 3, appointment of City Council representative for Aiken Corporation.
Mr. Yes, sir. City Council has three different appointments that we make on a regular basis when there are positions available. And two of the appointments are to the Augusta Regional Transportation System that are currently filled by Mayor Fred Cavanaugh and Councilwoman Clyburn. That meets about four times a year and has oversight and direction on the various transportation improvements that are to be made within our area in the future using funding that comes from the federal government and is funneled through the state government. Silver Bluff Road is an example of one of those improvements. There are no openings at this point in time, but those I did want to mention that. Also, in talking to ADDA, they do have one appointment that they do fill with City Council. I did not think they had any, but they do have one. That is currently being filled by Don Wells. Don Sprawls was a member of ADDA's board, but that was a position not as a council member, but just as a former business person in our community. Now, as other vacancies come open, we could certainly talk to ADDA, and there's that possibility that, you know, they would consider someone else if someone would like to be considered in the future. The appointment that we do have open tonight that is available is concerning Aiken Corporation. Aiken Corporation meets on a monthly basis, generally the second Wednesday of the month at 10 o'clock. The meetings last for an hour to an hour and a half. It's an executive board that meets during this time, and they look at areas of bringing in new jobs and housing and other things that would enhance the community of Aiken. Previously, we had Don Sprawls on as a member, and Leslie Price is also a member on that committee. So for your consideration tonight, we need to select a council member to fill the vacant position with Aiken Corporation.
Okay, thank you, sir. It's been expressed to me that Councilman Smith would like to serve in that position. Is anyone else that would like to serve in that position? Any other comments? If not, I make a motion that we elect Councilman Smith for that post.
Second.
Any other comments? Any comments? No comments? Okay. All in favor, show of hands, please. Okay. Passes unanimously. Okay. Item four is second reading public hearing of an ordinance to rezone three parcels of land on Sumter Street. Mr. Leduc.
Yes, sir. I'll read this by title only. It's an ordinance amending the zoning of real estate owned by Robert Stack from general business GB to residential single family RS 10. These are three pieces of property that he owns, and he would like to go ahead and change the designation from general business to residential single family, which is, according to the comprehensive plan, the direction council would like to take in the majority of our north side neighborhoods. The Planning Commission unanimously approved the rezoning of this property, and for your consideration tonight, this is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to rezone three lots on Sumter Street from general business to RS 10 single family residential.
Okay, thank you, sir. This is a second reading, so if there's anyone in the audience who would like to speak on this particular ordinance, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
Mr. Mayor, I have one question, not about his property, but about the property adjoining his. I believe it's on the corner. I can't read the...
Is that corner of Richland and Sumter?
What is the zoning on that piece of property? Currently, does it show? I just can't see it.
Well, it's commercial. It's a C. If I'm looking at the right, is it? Are you talking about the one that says parking lot?
I'm talking about the property that is owned by Bell.
Or is it?
If you look on the map, the lower portion of it, everything in that entire area from Park Avenue north to Barnwell and from Union Street to beyond Orangeburg is all general business currently.
That's what I can't see. I just couldn't make that with
except for a few other pieces of property that we've already rezoned to residential. What council made a decision on earlier was along Richland Avenue and Park Avenue, we would allow general business or some limited business zone. But in between those areas, we wanted to have residential, single family, if all possible. And so the goal is over the next 5, 10, 20 years to try to rezone the entire area. Mm-hmm. So currently that is zoned as general business.
Thank you. I just couldn't read it, and I wanted to know what the current ruling was.
Okay. Do we have a motion and second?
I'd like to move that we approve this. I think it's a good move.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
Even better.
Any other discussion?
I just want to thank Mr. Stack for all the work he does in that in downtown neighborhoods. And this is a step, our really first step in that block to get done what we hope will happen. So thank you.
Thank you, Robert. Okay, any other comments? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 5, second reading public hearing and ordinance to amend the franchise agreement for towing vehicles. Mr. Leduc,
yes, sir. The title of this I'll read is states, it's an ordinance adding language to the City of Aiken franchise agreement under Section 42-11, Aiken City Code, regarding personal items left in certain towed vehicles. As I explained at the last meeting, we have received complaints from individuals that had their vehicle towed. In most cases, these are individuals that are out of town and they don't know who to have their vehicle towed by, or individuals that could even be injured or just don't know. And of course, you know, when a vehicle breaks down or get into an accident, you're kind of in a panic state anyways. And at various times, tools have been left in there, things that they needed for their job, purses, car seats, and other things. And when they went back to retrieve them, they were not able to get it until they paid for their vehicle. And it, you know, there are times when not everybody can do that. We checked with the State Highway Department to see what type of language they have in their ordinance, and they have language that says that the person is able to allow the individual their right to retrieve personal belongings. So we have added that language in the ordinance. Let me just read it so that we're all know exactly. It says the record service shall immediately release personal property in any towed vehicle to the rightful owner on a 24-hour per day basis, 7 days a week. The record service location shall have an agent present during normal business hours, and at the request of the rightful owner of any towed vehicle or owner, the record service must immediately release personal items, including but not limited to medicine, medical equipment, keys, clothing, tools of their trade, child restraint systems, and perishable items. So we're asking council tonight on second reading and public hearing to make this change, the ordinance to amend the franchise agreement with towing companies regarding personal items left in their towed vehicles.
Okay, thank you, sir. This is the second reading and public hearing of this ordinance. If there's anyone in the audience who would like to speak on this ordinance or this issue, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
Mr. Mayor, I move for approval of this ordinance on second reading and...
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, thank you. Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. Item 6, proposed county complex. Mr. Ledoux.
Yes, sir. At the last meeting, council asked that we review and determine what is happening with the decision by the county concerning their future county complex. Since that time, I've had several discussions with Clay Killian, the county administrator, and Council Member Smith and I just so happened to have an opportunity to speak to two of the county council members at a particular meeting. What is happening is the county has, well, they have not as of today, but tomorrow night they will be considering hiring Cranston Engineering. Cranston Engineering was selected from several different consultants to review the locations that it has been narrowed down to. They have three locations that they're had on the selected list. And to consider possibly other locations. When Mr. Smith and I talked to them, we had suggested at least three other locations to consider, one being the existing complex, another being to re-review Kelmia Shopping Center, and the third one is where the former mobile home sales park was at, Buford and Richland Avenue. That's that area to the northeast. There's about 27 acres in that one particular area. The two council members we spoke to seemed open to that. The county administrator seemed to be open to that. But again, tomorrow night they will be making this decision. Number one, who's going to do the work to study this, and what will be the scope of that work? So this is being brought forward to you tonight. One of the things that was discussed was the fact that the site that was preferred site by the other firm that was looking at this before would be giving the county free land, which the county estimates could be up to $1 million in economic incentives for them to choose that site. With that in mind, if council wants them to be at a particular site, you may want to look at this as an economic incentive to the downtown area and to the city of Aiken to have it at a preferred site. And in that, you could offer as economic incentives to help with landscaping, parking, water, sewer, or anything else that you would like. That might help convince them to go to a particular site over another site. Again, there's a lot of considerations. They're talking about a $30 to $40 million building. I've been asked, you know, how are they going to finance that? I don't know. All I can say is that they feel fairly confident that they could go ahead and get the financing for this building. So that is where it's at tonight. That's the information I have to give to you. And so I placed this on the agenda to see what, if any, action you would like to take further on this.
Okay. Thank you, Roger. Any comments?
I guess my concern is what will happen to that large vacant building on Richland Avenue should they move. And
I have a hope. I hope it would be turned into maybe a senior citizen or some type of that residential apartments or something.
Right.
Rod, you had mentioned to me several days ago, I think, that some evaluation that took place maybe.
Yeah, first of all, we hope that they will reconsider that building. That building is on an 8 to 9 acre site. They'd like to see a 25 acre to 50 acre site. They feel they need 200,000 square feet. They have 120,000 square feet, 66,000 in that building now, 60,000 approximately off site, and they'd like to have about 120,000 for their, so they can consolidate their operation. However, the consolidation would not include the court system, so they plan on keeping the courthouse over there at Chesterfield Street and Park. Would not include the sheriff's office, so that would stay where it's at. But it would bring back together again the other operations they have, mainly at Kelmia Plaza. If that building were to become vacant, I've already done some preliminary investigation to determine, could we get some funding possibly to turn that into a residential unit? And that has been done in other areas of the country successfully, and I believe we could do the same thing here. But that, hopefully we won't have to make that determination, and there would be some reconsideration. Their biggest concern with their building right now is lack of parking. There's essentially no parking whatsoever. The other thing is, if they build there to expand, what do they do with their workers while they do the renovation of their existing building and during the expansion period? And again, I have not delved into this and looked into this. I'm just saying this as just editorial type comment that, you know, if they wanted to double that building, you know, build something very similar to it in the front of the building or behind it, they could always build that portion, move into that portion while they do the renovation of the other portion. Do it in phases. They would probably have to have a parking garage there, to accommodate all the cars that they would like to have there, especially if they use the parking in the very front of the building for some expansion. So it would take quite a few different steps in there. But again, hopefully they'll reevaluate this and look at this. They may find out it's not the best location. They may find out Kelmia is better, the other location is better. But I know when Mr. Smith and I talked to them, we encouraged them to at least reconsider those areas.
Mr. Mayor, I look at this from a taxpayer's point of view and from a council member point of view to try to be objective. As a taxpayer, I could easily say, let's look at these 8+ acres, let's gut the building, and let's work what we have right now. As a council member who serves on city council and know how we work our business, I would like to see county council handle their business. They have hired a firm to look into this, to do their due diligence. Once that firm comes up with a recommendation, it is not a close issue. They still will have some input from the public. So it's not a cut and dry, we've got the evaluation, the recommendation from this group, then this is it. So I think there will be time for public input from that point on. But I just wonder, as a city council person, how would I feel if county council comes in and say, I don't like where you're placing that ball field. I don't like where you're putting this development. How would we accept that if we did that? But I have to look at two hats, a taxpayer and a city council official. So that's my spiel.
I think it's, with all things, it depends on how we put it. Mm-hmm. And you know how I feel. I really think it's terribly important that this building stay in the center of the city of Aiken, because there are so many offices that are connected with it. And I think Aiken and Charleston have the two really viable downtowns in South Carolina. Greenville is beautiful, but if you go one business off of Main Street, there are empty buildings everywhere. So I really think that one of the reasons we still have an active downtown is that there are a variety of businesses downtown, and certainly county government generates a lot of activity of a business nature. I think, as I said the other week, other towns learned 20 years ago that moving their facilities out to the bypass was a big mistake if they wanted their downtowns to stay active and viable. This confuses me. As I said, I think it depends on how we put it to them. One of the things, though, as a citizen of Aiken County, it perplexes me that in an era of $3 a gallon gas and an era of computers, that we're talking about a great big building that everybody has to drive to, or a great big complex that everyone must drive to. How much more sensible would it be to make sure everything is computerized the way it should be and have a satellite office in North Augusta or Wagner? Now, I don't think we need to go there on our suggestions, but just as a taxpayer, I would rather, and as a taxpayer who would hope that the county is building facilities that will really serve the citizens, that seems much more logical to me. Those are some impressions that I have about it. I think we can make suggestions, and frankly, I think if county council came here and said, you know, you're thinking of this, but have you thought about the repercussions or the ramifications of what this particular decision would be, and they could add information that we needed, I think we're all grown up enough to accept that kind of information. And I think they are too. I mean, I think it all depends on how it's handled. Right?
I think that there's going to be a time and place for that, and we have to decide whether we should do that on the front end or do that when the engineering firm does its due diligence in terms of feasibility studies and those kinds of things and bring back the numbers. Do we just tell them where we want it now or later? So,
Mr. Anaclerio and I went to a meeting. Mike, you might want to speak this afternoon, mm-hmm. where the county council met with this Cranston Engineering Group.
Mm-hmm. Mike Anaclerio, 306 Carlton Avenue. The building committee of the county council is right now meeting, or this evening we're meeting with Cranston's group out of Augusta, mm-hmm. and their sole goal is to pick out the sites where they're going to be building this complex. I feel that it's essential that we spend in the city of Aiken a lot of money to bring industry into the city of Aiken or close to it. And yet here's a 990 employee thing that may move out of the city or may move away from the downtown. And I see that it's so important that they be close to downtown, because not only will their employees go downtown and shop and eat, but also the people that come in to visit the county complex from out from the eastern part of the city will pass through the downtown and be able to see the stores we have and the restaurants, so they can come back and do their shopping and eating. And I think it's important that they stay where they are. I think whenever you look at it, the main key that's hanging them up is the thought of 25 or 30 acres that was going to be given to them fine dairying. I don't think they need that. I think in 9 acres that they got here, they can build maybe three or four story buildings and put the 160,000 square foot need earlier, and then expand to 200,000 square feet is what they say is their goal. And I believe that with this, in the city here, we need to give them some sort of a financial help to make the decision to stay where they are instead of moving to another part of the city. Because if they do move to another part of the city, that takes care of other taxable land that business could be over there rather than the government agency, which is the county complex. I look at that as the land, it may be a swamp, I don't think it will be, but at least we're giving up potential taxpaying land if we allow them to go someplace else. Why don't they stay where they are? And it seems to me that the county right now would be interested if we would match some of their financial needs. With interest rates where they are really low right now, municipal bonds probably would cost us maybe 4.5% or 5%. We need to consider possibly going with a bond issue and maybe helping the county, maybe even partial payment of a parking garage and pay over for 25, 30 years, because eventually I believe the income that's generated by the employees plus people coming to the city of Bacon who are going to the complex will pay for itself. We'll save our downtown. So that was my thought. If we could really stress, we want them to stay where they are and renovate those buildings or build new buildings. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike. I've got a little mixed emotions about this myself, but one thing I don't like, and I'd hate to see us get into, unless he's already mentioned it, touched on it, is us sending them any kind of letter, period. I think we can do that individually. We all know their council members on council. We know them all. We know them well. I think we can talk to them individually and tell them our feelings. I'm sure the paper's going to have something to say about this issue. But once we open that door and we start in any way writing a letter or whatever to county and telling them what we would like for them to do, we've spent years and years and years of developing a good relationship with the county. And I'm just afraid one thing would lead to another, and there's no sure feeling of any success that would come from any kind of letter we would write. I think if we're there in person to share our feelings at the meeting perhaps, or at future meetings, or we talk to, like Dick has already and Roger have already talked to two council members, I think that that's going to do more good than a letter or anything in writing that's going to get in the paper and all that stuff. And I'm not in favor of that at all.
If I may add one other point, Mr. Mayor, is that right now that group that's looking for sites location is looking at 25 or 30 acres. So they're concentrating in a different aspect than the 9 acres that they have. I would like for council to come up with a better idea of how to use that 9 acres to meet their square footage need of 160,000 square feet now, with expansion to 200, and say, here's another idea. They're kind of focusing on a much campus over, looks like a kind of campus side property, whereas I'm saying, look at the 9 acres where they are right now.
Well, we can tell them that, Mike, without putting anything in writing.
Sometimes the picture's better, though.
Well, individually, I mean, the council will decide here, I guess, what you want to do, but I'm not in favor of that. I'd rather call each member and talk to them personally about the feelings, and we'd like to see that site remain as a county complex. I would like to see everything you've said, everything Jane has said. I don't want to see it move any more than anybody else, but I do know this, that when they vacate this space, somebody or some firm, some company is going to move into spaces that they do vacate if they do vacate. It's not going to be idle there. Calmia Plaza already has a lease for part of that Belk building, I understand. I don't know how many years that is. But something's going to happen to that. And any other offices downtown, wherever they may be, we see people moving in, you know, every week into some of these open places. So I'm not so concerned about the places not filling up. But I share your feelings. I just don't want to see it in writing.
Mr. Mayor, I might have a little different view. I don't think it's inappropriate at all for us to be concerned about where they go, because, quite frankly, it's in the city's best interest for them to stay as close as possible.
I'm concerned, Dick. Don't get me wrong. What I've said is I'm not going to put my name on a letter because I don't want to start this back and forth business.
Well, okay, I understand what you're saying. And I've already spoken to my county council representative. But I think it's important, and I applaud what Roger has done to get in at the very earliest level. If they are going to make a decision between three places, and we're not happy, we would not prefer any of those three places, I'd rather see us get in early and at least ask them to consider locations that we think they ought to consider. I'd like to see them have a choice, deliberate about six locations based on what the city manager has said. So I'm not at all concerned so much with hurting feelings as much as I am getting our views made to the county council. I think, hopefully, our relations are good enough that they can understand why we're interested and why we want to be involved.
We share our feelings a lot. I have, too, over the years in many different issues. But, I see no reason to put it in writing.
And Jane has made a key point in terms of relationships and the way you couch your words. But relationships, Dick, and this community is key. It's not about hurting feelings, but building relationships. And it's taken us a while to build a good relationship with county council members. I have already talked with several of county council members to express my personal desires as a taxpayer. And I think, as the mayor said, with each one of us doing that, hopefully that will carry some weight. The best illustration of how a community can rally together is when Ed Giobi and Ed, what's your buddy's name? Where is he tonight? Okay. When the two of them got together and expressed their wishes regarding this TIF district. So a community can do a lot, not with us signing our names on the dotted line, but by people just having a concern and making those concerns known. But it's important, it's critical for us to keep that relationship, that good relationship with county council members, and I have, again, personally shared my personal views.
Individually, we can write all the letters we want.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
I'm Jack Beckham, 188 Governor's Lane, and I'm very familiar with the county complex debate. Matter of fact, I opposed that selection from the very beginning. I don't know whether you remember the TIF situation we had a few years ago.
I remember.
The same developer wanted $39 million to put in the infrastructure for a subdivision. Now, these same people claim they're from Texas are here again, and despite opposition, myself included, and some other people here, Mr. Giobi, I know a few others, we urged them not to do business with these people again, and in some way or another, they got a vote and voted to let the same people now find Daring, select the site, and guess where they selected it? Not only did they select it on their property, they paid them $350,000 to find the site, which I thought was ridiculous. This type of thing is going on, and keep in mind that the chairman of the county council is coming up for re-election, so I urge the city not to do anything to encourage them to stay with this site. This site that they picked is about 30 or 40 feet below road level. He gave it to them, and I don't consider that a gift. I really consider it corruption. And I mean, I've done everything I can do to prevent it, but our county council, with the exception of about three people, whatever these people say, they do it, and they have no question. They have a meeting to rezone some property out there at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I'm a contractor, and I have never had them do any favors to me like that. So I think just don't. I'd recommend y'all not do anything to encourage this. My question, the first time they brought this up, is why don't we use the same buildings we have? $350,000 to select a site on these people's property that are 40 feet below the road level. Mm-hmm. That just doesn't make any sense to me.
Are you saying that the county paid $300,000
to them? They recommended pay them $400,000.
Well, the site really has not been selected yet.
Not all of it.
I mean, they offered that. I know that. But did the county actually pay money?
I understand that it was supposed to be like $450,000 selected and have a need study. And I think they paid them $200,000. I asked one county, as a matter of fact, I asked the county council, the chairman of the county council, how much money have they paid? How much have they already got? And I said $350,000. He said, it's not that much. It was only $300,000.
Mm. I think what Fine and Deering, am I not correct, did the analysis of how much space they needed.
The needs.
And you know, we don't need my point, my feeling is we don't need to argue with that. They've done it, and they did spend hundreds of thousands to do it. You're right. But, you know, they say they need 200,000 square feet. Well, the man from the Cranston Group today said, you know, if you build a four-story building, you can build 100,000 feet on an acre, and they've got 9 acres. So, you know, it's encourage. In other words, we don't have to reinvent the wheel and say they don't need this much space or whatever. I don't know why they spent that much money either to figure that out. It seems like somebody could have found. Seems like they should have had an employee that could have done that. Myself, but they didn't. They chose not to do it that way. We don't even need to go there. Where we need to look at is what they say they needed and how it could be accommodated on that site, and I don't think we'd be stretching things at all. I mean, it's not like we have 2 acres and we're trying to cram, but 990 employees, that's a lot of employees to lose from downtown. It really is. But I share your frustration on this.
I'm just a little suspicious when somebody gives property to the county or city. That bothers me a little bit.
I do understand they have not accepted that was an offer, right?
That's correct.
And what was interesting this afternoon, they had a map that showed potential 25-acre sites within 3 miles. I think that's their criterion.
I just hope they weaken.
Well, a lot of them were just completely impractical. I mean, one was Odell Weeks in that area. Well, we're not going to tear that down so we can put a county office complex there. I mean, you know what? And they know that. I mean, they don't intend that. Part of it was in Hitchcock Woods, and I don't want to be burned at the stake myself. And I think anybody that suggested that might be in big trouble. But I mean, there really are very limited sites, as Mr. LeDuc pointed out. And I just think that if this is designed the right way, they can stay right there and do good for everybody. Plus, I question when you're talking about building 200,000 square feet of new construction plus parking lots, $30 million seems very low to me.
Well, I think everybody should ride out and take a look at the site that they recommended.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Beckham.
Mr. Mayor,
yes, sir.
If I could, please.
Sure.
I mean, I think this is an issue, of course, we could debate till the cows came home, and still, it's not our decision to make from that standpoint.
Sure.
If we are going to write a letter to them, I think what we should do is just tell them what our wishes are in the letter, and if we're willing to give them some incentives to maintain that building. Or to select one of the other sites in which we're suggesting. If we do that and we're willing to catch their hands and support them in some way, I don't see how they could take that in a wrong manner. But if we're not willing to do that, I'm totally against writing a letter. I think that if we're going to stand just as citizens and make suggestions to the county council without giving them some incentives, then we need to do that personally and not as a body.
I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's...
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Carla Cloud, Executive Director of ADDA, and I guess now I can just say ditto. Because that was what I was going to say is, you know, speaking to them individually is great, and I understand the relationship building, and I'm all about that, and I respect all the things that were said, but I do think the question is City Council willing to say, we really want you downtown, and therefore we're willing to do whatever it may take to get within reason to get you to stay. I'm at the ADDA board meeting. This was discussed, and that's why I felt like I needed to come up and say something. But at that point, I think you do need to do a letter, and it be a consolidated front. Don Wells can't go speak to someone individually and say City Council is willing to do this. So I think that's the decision. How badly do we want them to stay within the downtown area, and are we willing to say we're willing to work with you in some way? And at that point, I think you do need a letter rather than just individuals. So, good job, Don.
Thank you.
Carla, while you're there, I made a note to compliment you and ADDA. I've gotten all kinds of remarks about the Christmas tree downtown. and it's beautiful. All of them have been very positive.
Thank you.
I just wanted you to know that.
Thank you. We have had... Thank you. It was our design committee and a lot of businesses and citizens coming together, so thank you very much.
Right.
We hope
right.
everyone's pleased.
Thank you. Excuse me.
I really do agree with John, and I think it's not a matter, it's how we say it and what really we express, which would be basically what we would like to see, and we would be willing to help it if we could lean it that in that direction, get them to move in that direction. And so it's not telling them what they need to do or anything like that. It's just telling our preference.
If council, you know, based on what was just stated here, wanted to write some kind of letter that would basically say, we know this is the final decision is something that county council has to make a decision on. However, this is very important to the city of Aiken and to our downtown area. With that in mind, we'd like you to consider, as you're considering these other sites, to consider these three sites, and that the city council would be willing to consider helping you in some way if the selected site was closer to downtown area. You know, at this point in time, we don't know what incentives would be something that they'd even want, what they even may need. But I think if you say you would be willing to consider things, then when Cranston Engineering starts making their evaluation and they see some things that maybe that we could help out in some fashion. And again, the obvious ones that come to my mind is landscaping. Going ahead and working with our infrastructure with water, sewer, roads, parking. But again, there's at some point in time, there's an upper limit that council's going to want to consider. But again, if you just couch it in terms of saying we'd be willing to consider assisting you if you decide to stay in the downtown area and be willing to discuss that with Cranston Engineering at a future time, that might be a way of letting them know how important this is to us and that we're willing to help. In talking to a couple of unnamed sources, they did feel like economic incentives would help in their decision making. Again, but that's a decision council would have to look at. How far do we want to go? And at this point, I don't think we could answer that question tonight. But I think you can answer the question that you either you would be willing to consider or you would not be willing to consider some ways to helping them.
Mr. Mayor, I would like to go on record as saying that I think that if we could write a letter that maybe makes it very clear that we're not trying to tell them what to do or how to do it, that we understand you're looking at this and that it would benefit us if you would allow us to help you to try to keep the project as close to downtown as possible. And I think leave it up to Roger as to the way the letter's written. Maybe we could look at the letter before it's sent and decide whether we even want to send it or not. But I think to say nothing except contact our representatives might be where I would want to see us do just a little bit more to encourage them to look at it. But I don't want to be critical of their process or of who they get to do what. Just mainly you're in the process, and we'd like to say some of the things that Don mentioned, that we go ahead and...
Okay, I agree to that. I think we've got to be very careful with incentives because we've got an awful lot of challenges ahead of us where we need money. We've got a lot of, everybody knows what we have in store on the traffic, what have you, and we've got to be very careful. It's fine to talk about landscaping and some of those kinds of things, but I think we ought to say we would be happy to consider.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I was just getting ready to say those same comments. I think we're talking about the city of Aiken's taxpayers' monies, and I think we need their input before we start making some deals with the county. But I see nothing wrong with letting the county know that we would very much like to have them near and dear
and I think we ought to be able to do that in a way without seeming to be intrusive.
Okay. Everybody agree?
We agree.
Okay. Very good. Okay.
Well, since we're not going to be getting back together again for another month, and by that time the process would be well on its way, if council does not mind, I will put together a draft letter that the mayor could look at, and if he feels the letter seems reasonable, if you want to, maybe you want to authorize him to then to sign that letter.
Yeah,
I'm sure he'd be happy to do that.
Or we could send copies out to each council member. They can send it back in a couple of days.
Yeah, we all have emails, I think.
Yeah. Well, we can do it.
I'll draft a letter, have the mayor take a look at it, then we'll email it to you so that we could try. You know, I was hoping we could get something out to them by 5 o'clock tomorrow before they made that decision.
For sure.
And I'm not too sure if we'll be able to get all that done in that sort of period, but... we will endeavor to do that.
Mr. Young did instruct them today to consider the downtown site, the old site as well. Now, I don't know about the Beaufort Street site or Kalmia Plaza, but you think this would be a productive thing to do then?
To talk to them?
To do what you just said, to talk in that way.
Yeah, there's going to be some individuals, yeah, I'm sure, on the county council that are going to take this in a very negative way. You know, why is the city getting into our business?
I've already heard that.
I know that's going to happen with at least two or three.
That's what I'm saying. So
I'm sure North Augusta would say, well, why not in North Augusta? But I think that if the letter is written in the right manner, in a positive manner, that we're not trying to tell them what to do or how to do things, we're just trying to make sure that you consider and reconsider these individual areas, and that if somewhere in the future we could assist you in some way, we'd certainly consider that.
I think Jane had good comments based on the sensitivity early on in terms of couching the words very appropriately. We did that where it's not going to create any problems.
We will try to get something sent out to all of you by early afternoon tomorrow.
Okay.
So that I could hopefully hand deliver something to them before their meeting tomorrow night.
Okay. Everybody? Okay. Good. Very good. All right. Before we take the first item on the new business, let me just recognize... we've got a class from Aiken High School back there from the American Government class, if I'm correct. Would you all stand up, please? We're always happy to have young folks here with us.
Can we let them... Mr. Mayor, can we ask them who they are and what grade?
Sure. Yeah. Would you tell us your name and your grade? Just real loud.
Okay. Good.
Now, is anyone else with you? Okay, I couldn't say. Well, thank you very much for coming. And if you ever have any questions of city government, anything, ask these people around me, okay? No, we're very pleased to have you here. Thank you very much. Under new business, first reading of an ordinance regarding placement of news racks in Central Business District. Mr. Levick, please.
Yes, sir. I'm going to read this by title only. This is an ordinance adding Section 3612 to the City Code regarding the placement of city-owned news rack in the Central Business District. As you all know, this is probably my favorite subject. If it wasn't, I wouldn't keep bringing this up. This has been a subject we discussed for a long time, and I think this is the fourth or fifth iteration we've had on trying to come to a solution that, frankly, I don't believe we're all going to be able to agree on. But I think it's a good compromise of trying to get some of the elements that council has asked for, and yet trying to meet some of the needs. Not some of the needs, most of the needs of the individuals who are publishers and have existing publications and may have more publications in the future. The one thing that I think we could all agree on is the fact that the written press that we are seeing in not only the downtown area but throughout Aiken, there has been a proliferation. There's more of it. There will probably be more in the future. It used to be 20, 30 years ago, you'd go ahead and have just newspapers delivering information and ads, and now you have several different types of venues being very specific for different markets that are out there. The trend that, in discussion with several of the publishers, is that this is going to continue in the future. You'll see publications having more than one variety of trying to market to the individuals out there. Obviously, there are citizens within our community that want to have those publications so that they can go ahead and, whether it's to find an apartment or a house or some clothing item or to read the latest news or whatever it is, that they desire to have those publications. Saying all that, we currently have about 18 different spots. So when we started 3 years ago, we had 18 locations. Now it's kind of added two different locations, several others throughout the community. We are suggesting 11 locations. Now in the ordinance, it was just pointed out to me late today that on the second page of the ordinance, depending on how you want to interpret it, under page 2, under section 3612, item number B, it says location requirements. It says initially 11 modular news racks shall be placed at or near the location set forth. And we'll change this language to clarify if council wants us to go forward with a second reading. There are 11 locations. There's going to be at some locations these modular larger units. There could be two or three, eight units, like at the post office. I think there right now is 18 or 20 different publications. But obviously, they can't all get in an eight modular type of unit. So there's going to have to be multiples of those at some of these locations. Pat's Restaurants is another one, right behind City Municipal Building is another one. So where it says 11 modular news racks, it's really 11 locations. Each location may have a multitude of modular units depending on what the need is at those locations. Again, that change will be made if council decides to go forward with this. The last time we discussed this with City Council, it was pointed out we had, I think it was an 11 or 12 or 13 page memorandum of understanding between us and the publishers to try to have an agreement where there would be a committee, and based on any changes, it would go back to City Council, and Council would have to look at each one to make approval. At that meeting, it seemed that Council and the publishers were both saying, can we find a simpler way of doing this so that you set up some criteria for this, and then based on that criteria, if changes had to be made within certain parameters, the city manager could make those changes. With that, there's a certain amount of trust that goes into this, and certainly I'm not looking for another job to do, believe me, but I and our office are willing to take on that task. In fact, if council decides to do it this way, I would probably follow this and be the person for the next several years until we worked out some possible problems that may crop up in the first 6 months to a year, which is generally what happens as you get a new ordinance. Kind of like the towing ordinance, something cropped up. We came back to you with some changes on it earlier tonight. So what we have before you tonight is the fact that we would go out there, the council agrees, we would purchase these modular units, we would rent them back to the different publishers based on trying to collect our cost over a five-year period of time. We'd maintain them, we'd have the liability involved with it, try to make this as simple as possible with everybody involved. Again, I want to emphasize that this is something that we've had a lot of compromise, a lot of discussion. The last time we all got together, be very blunt about it, the publishers still would prefer just to keep them the way they are. But if we want to go ahead, if the council's desire is to get this into a more orderly fashion and to be in a way that's more attractive, nicer for our downtown area, we think this is a way of getting it done. The only thing that the publisher would have to do if we went ahead with the ordinance as written is if they wanted to have a coin-operated newspaper rack, they would have to put that coin-operated device in there. We don't want to have to be involved in that because I wouldn't want there ever to be any consideration of misappropriation of funds or anything else by us installing these coin-operated devices. So they would take the rack, and they do this all the time. They would go ahead and attach that device to it. So before you tonight is consideration of first reading of an ordinance to place city-owned news racks in centrally business and district. And if you decide to go forward, then at the next meeting we'd have the second reading and public hearing. And I know there are several of the publishers here tonight that may want to speak on this issue if you would like to suspend the rules.
Okay. Does anyone want to speak on this issue? Okay. I make a motion that we suspend the rules so that we can have folks talk on the first reading.
Second.
Second. Okay. Show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Passage unanimously. Okay. Who would like to speak first? Just give us your name and address, please, as speakers come up.
Thank you. My name is Beth Nicholson. I reside at 818 Azalea Place. I publish Bella Magazine. I'd like to thank council and the mayor for and Roger LaDuke for all the work that they've put into this, trying to help us work out this issue. And my only question now is I wanted to know before we did a second reading if we could get specific locations as to where the racks were going to be and the number and what the cost would be to each individual.
We could certainly do that. We give you some maybe not exact locations, but very close to those locations based on the map. But we could give you probably within a few dollars of what the cost would be per year. I'd have to go ahead and get the prices and recalculate the numbers.
Can we do that by second reading?
Yeah, we could all do that by second reading. That would not be a problem.
Thank you.
We don't have any idea at all what the costs are going to be per...
Yeah, the first one cost us, I believe, it was a little over $3,000. I'd have to take a look at that, how much this costs us to install it. We might get a discount by ordering 20 or 30 of these units.
Beth, if you don't mind staying for just a minute, because we talked earlier. Would it be... Beth brought up a good point when I spoke with her about, do we need to pay for this in 5 years? Could it be a more reasonable cost to the publishers if we paid for them in 10 years or longer? I mean, they're going to last more than 5 years, surely.
Well, that we don't know. We do know that there's going to be maintenance after the first probably year or so to go ahead and keep them repainted and looking good. Somebody said that we should go out there and wax them every few months so that the graffiti wouldn't stay on it when people try to stick things on it or paint them, because that's what's happened in other locations. So it's hard to know how much costs, and if you amortize this over 10 years is going to be a long time. And I'd like to think that these things will last a long time, but I don't know how long those spring-loaded devices and other things will last. We originally had talked a few years, and then we, at the last meeting, someone said, what about 4? And then somebody said, what about 5? And I said, we'll go over 5 years and try to make it as reasonable as possible. Remember, council has to understand that we're going to be upfronting all the money on this. So we probably have $60,000, $80,000 of expense up front. that we'll have to also consider in the amateurization of the units.
Do you, we have a list of the people that want slots right now.
Correct.
And are we building enough of these to satisfy those folks?
Again, before I would go ahead and order any of these units, I'm going to want to get a pre-order, so to speak, from the various publishers. I know, like Beth has said, that at many of these locations, she's going to want to have two. The Augusta Chronicle said that they would like to have seven. The Standard said that they would like to have a lot more than two at several locations. So again, we have to add them all up and say, okay, this location's going to need 16 slots that come in. What kind of groupings to get in? So we'll make sure that at least initially there will be enough space for everybody based on their needs that they feel that they'll be having the next year. And that's where some of the flexibility comes in. It gives the flexibility to the city manager that if all of a sudden somebody comes forward 10 days after we make the order and we need to add two more units because they come in multiples of two, you know, what do? We don't want to wait another year to be able to make a decision.
No, that's it. I've lost my voice. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ben. Who would like to speak next?
Good evening. Andrew O'Byrne, 154 Main Street South, Wagner. First, when we last visited this issue here at the city, I left my name with your staff and was told I would be contacted about the changes that we sought, and I wasn't. I still believe there's First Amendment issues here and that your interests are stepping on those issues. And then I think that you're also choosing and controlling trade, and I think that's an issue. And I will get in touch with you in writing and hopefully make an appearance next time if you're going to consider this and continue to go forward. I think you could find yourself in litigation. Many other communities have been in protracted litigation and has been before the Supreme Court and will be again. And first thing I learned about going into legal business was you don't want to make your clients famous. So you don't want any cases named Aiken. But I think that this is something that it violates the spirit of the First Amendment. I don't think that when I walk around the city of Aiken that I find it so cluttered or so. It provides a needed service. The colors that seem to object, some people object to, other people find a matter of taste. One person's taste is, so is the city going to come down on one person's taste versus the other person's taste? So I mean, these are things that you need to consider before you go forward. And if you do go forward, I think I'll be back next time to visit with you again, and more specifically, because this was short notice to me, just today. And I said initially here tonight that when I sought to have conference with your staff, I wasn't consulted. So thank you.
I'm sorry about that.
I have a question. Just I didn't read anything in the ordinance about regulating content, so I'm not clear. I understand your First Amendment rights.
Restricting the access is a First Amendment issue.
Restricting the access.
Right. You're going to say
we've actually added.
Once you've put these boxes up, you'll have to wait until a vacancy becomes available, or we add more boxes or whatever. But in the meanwhile, you're not allowed to place a box or whatever. And that
But if it turned out at the initial implementation of the program, there was no waiting list at all, that we were able to accommodate everyone, would that affect your...
You're restricting somebody else to come into the marketplace. I mean, the right of a free press is the ability to start and stop and not be controlled by any government entity. That's the First Amendment. Okay, and some people may want to start a paper. Other people may want to start a paper.
Do you have a specific law case that you're talking about?
There are a long list of cases.
I know there are some that have been approved, though. It depends on conditions that you're talking about. We're not talking about shutting down.
I'm going to bring you things from the press associations that cite different things. I'm sure you've looked at some of them. But that doesn't mean it won't be visited again.
Oh, well, anything can be visited.
Well, I just think that it's an important thing. It protects us all, the First Amendment. And Aiken is not so imposed on by your boxes that you have outside this building or along Lawrence Street or other streets that you have such an issue that it's an overwhelming public necessity that you need to be prioritizing.
So in your discussion here, you're assuming that there would be a restriction.
I know you're going to restrict it.
Well, how do you know there would be a restriction?
Because there's only so much space that you're willing to give up. In other words, when you establish that box on the corner of Richland there and Lawrence Street, which is your demonstration box.
Yeah.
Once you've established that box, when do you propose to revisit it? Weekly, daily, monthly, yearly?
We could very easily have several boxes in storage ready to be used when they become necessary.
Things. And then this is something that the newspapers make economic decisions on a weekly and monthly and daily basis. Mm-hmm. If they're selling papers, they want more boxes. If they're not getting a response, they withdraw their boxes so they don't get vandalized or stolen or robbed.
So we would take that into consideration, of course.
Well, you're getting into business. You're now part of the newspaper.
Andrew, do you have a publication of
I'm a retired publisher.
Okay, retired. You're not active now in publishing.
Or,
okay, you don't want to say. Okay, well that's your business.
Like me to be?
That's your business. Okay.
It's a real dilemma because what do you say then to the merchant? So then you would say to the merchant who finds three plastic boxes popping up in front of their store that they don't want there because they're paying plenty of taxes and a lot of money to be on Main Street. You're saying that they don't have the right to request that they be moved.
I think that any newspaper organization, any of these people who have been before you in the last several meetings, would respect the rights of any merchant. I don't think that any of them have been approached and told, we would prefer you move your box, and have been obstinate and not responded to that. Maybe you're informed that they are, and I'm not.
I've had complaints from business people downtown.
They spoke to the publishers, and the publishers refused.
About the proliferation of all of these plastic boxes. That's what it's about.
They spoke to you on the point that I asked a particular publication to remove a box from in front of my store, and they didn't do it?
No.
And that's not what you heard. You said.
But they go to work in the morning, and they have their storefront ready, and they really don't intend to get on the phone for 3 hours begging somebody to move something that is not on their own property. It's not on. It's on public property.
It's what?
None of us have the right to put. Do we have the right to put things on public property?
Well, there's this case in the city of Houston, which went ahead and put a law in like that, and at the same meeting, they had to pay a settlement and accept the fact that somebody was walking around in violation of a law that they had to repeal for carrying placards, okay, which was another First Amendment right. And in the same meeting they're passing a law like this, they had to undo a law that they had previously done 30 years ago. It was overturned in 2000, based on a 2004 case. So the 1970 law was overturned, and they had to pay a financial settlement to the person carrying that placard, which wasn't saying anything I personally would have liked to have seen said. But That's because of...
Do you have a sense that you could...
You're not going to wear a placard, are you?
What?
Are you going to wear a placard?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Do I have to wear clothes underneath?
No. Well, I hope you do if you wear a placard.
Andy, do you have a sense that if you worked with the staff, that there could be a reasonable solution to your concerns?
I think that you could have a situation where... Maybe some grounds, but I don't know that the city belongs in the business of regulating newspapers in any way. And circulation is an important issue in the First Amendment. Our ability to put a paper out and get it into the hands of the public is what it's all about. And by doing this, you're restricting that.
So, sir, I'm here. Am I to understand that... you have no objections to having as many boxes as folks would want on the streets in town? If we end up with 25 in a row, that's fine, or 50 in a row with the way it's growing.
Do I have any objection to that?
Mm-hmm. That's not clutter to you if there's 25 or 30 boxes all lined up.
Well, I don't believe you have that issue yet.
But it's growing. We've watched it grow, and it continues to grow. So
your community has grown? And your population has grown, and people are trying to profiteer. And now we're going to decide, between classes of publications, we're going to decide what's a newspaper, what's an advertiser, and whether an advertisement is news or not news. And it gets very complicated, And then we right back to the First Amendment. Does somebody have a right to talk? Okay. And then whether 25 or 100 people want to talk, that's the freedom that we enjoy in this country. And if it's in a yellow box or a blue box or a green box, and I've seen all kinds of different colored boxes. I mean, there are communities, and I'm trying to think of the name, and I don't know what the name it is, but one of the communities which was concerned about its big box and chain store food outlets and all that, wanted to keep their town weird. And that became a slogan, and I don't know what town it was.
It's Austin, Texas.
Was
keep Austin weird.
Keep Austin weird. Okay, well, I don't want to be too weird, but what I do want to do is protect the First Amendment. And I do want the newspapers to have the opportunity to come before you and share ideas with you, and I don't think that somebody should have the right to say ahead of time, well, you can only do it here or there or whatever. Okay. And I don't think we have an issue of chronic concern. I mean, I understand some people have preferences, but, we all have preferences. But I don't think we need to legislate every preference. And then, there's the other side of the shoe that always comes with it, which is the penalty side, which I don't know if it was addressed in here or not. If somebody should put a box out there, what are going to be the penalties? A 100 boxes doesn't upset me, no, ma'am. They're not going to put them out there if they're not getting a response. I mean, it's just, it's an investment on the part of a publisher to do this. I mean, if they're just there to annoy you, they're not going to last long anyway. If they're not serious in business, it's a big capital investment to go out and buy those boxes. It's a big capital investment. And this is not something a bunch of high school kids are going to do in a prank. Okay, this is something that people are doing serious, and they're only surviving if they're getting a response, and they're getting a response from people who want the information. If you see a car book, let's say, which has no editorial content in it at all, except for advertisements from car dealers, those books are getting picked up by your residents and guests, city visitors, who are coming to your hotels and shopping in your stores and eating in your restaurants. And they're picking up those books, or those racks won't stay there, and the books won't keep coming. And they're getting a response for the advertiser, or he won't keep advertising. So if it's a successful in all those other ways, then I don't see a problem. It's serving the needs of your public, or it won't survive, and they'll go away on their own.
Okay, thank you, sir. Appreciate
it.
Andy, thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
since I've already been up here one time. I'm Jack Beckham, 188 Governor's Lane. And I started off my career working as a paper boy when I was about 7-8 years old. And I can remember the time when we used to put our racks out and we didn't have a, we had to kind of rack that if you put your money, it was an honor thing. You could put your quarter in, and well, back then I guess it was a dime. You could get 3 or 4 papers out if you wanted to, but it was kind of not like it is now. You put a quarter in, you can only, well, you could get 3 or 4 out, I guess, but still kind of honor, but a little more honest then. But I, and this kind of bothers me that back then I went down the street and I sort of put in, you know, I'd ask the guy, do you mind me putting one in front of his store? And if he didn't, I put one there, you know. And I just never thought of it as being a real issue. But I don't know whether it's that I'm getting older or what the problem is. But it seems like as we get more people, we have to have more rules because maybe we get too many racks, you know. And but at the same time, seeing we're losing our freedom, I kind of sympathize with this fellow that if we get bigger and bigger, are we going to keep losing our freedoms? And you know, when I guess I think about my grandkids and things, that one day they're going to have a real beautiful place, but no freedom. That is a concern. Because I remember the first time I ever went to Hilton Head on my honeymoon. I thought that was the most beautiful place I'd ever seen. That was back in 67. And now when I go down there, it's like too much control, too much. Everybody's got the same thing. Everybody's got landscaping. That's what I like about Aiken. Aiken is it's got some beautiful places, but it's got some places just average people, you know. You can ride down the street and see some houses just normal people live in, like I lived in when I was a kid. And is that what we're going to eventually want, everybody to have everything beautiful? And, you know, I don't know. I question that. I'd like to know that in the future we're going to have more freedoms and maybe not so much of conformity. And that rack thing kind of bothers me a little bit. I don't know how you would work it out, but... I think we should make sure that we don't take too many freedoms in order to get what we need to make things look pretty. You know? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
My name is Kyle Cavell, 2295 Banks Mill Road, and I just wanted to say that the idea that the magazine business is or newspaper business are just throwing racks willy-nilly is not the case. We get permission for every rack. We have 450 racks throughout Aiken County, and we have permission from everyone. Every store owner initially said we could have them there. We have managers who come into stores and they have ideas of how they want things to be different than the previous manager. They call us up and ask us to move the rack. We move the rack, move it to a new location that we get permission for. So I don't like the idea that our business is really being represented as parasitic, sort of. We're providing a service, and we're asking permission to put the racks out, and we're not trying to make the place ugly for the sake of making a buck. I mean, we're conscientious business people, the same as any other business person who's downtown Aiken. And I don't have any problem necessarily with the rack proposal, and I do appreciate Roger's work and Bill. So that's all I had to say.
Thank you very much, Kyle.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Yay.
At the OB 541 Grace Avenue in Aiken. I think what council is struggling with, and it's a legitimate struggle, is the conflict between public interest and private interest. Some of Mr. O'Byrne's comments I think, if I understood him correctly, would advocate unlimited freedom of the press or First Amendment issue, which would allow you to do anything, anytime, anywhere you wished. I would take exception to that. I think that our society is replete with regulation at the city level, the state level, federal level. We regulate commerce in all sorts of different ways. And I guarantee you, if Mr. O'Byrne or anybody in this room put a rack out at the corner of Lawrence and Richland advocating birth control and dispensing contraceptives, you'd hear about it in about 30 seconds. So there are limits. There's something called prevailing community sentiment. And I think these are legitimate issues. The First Amendment has been debated year in, year out. There are many, many issues. It is not a black and white issue. You are not, as one of the council members pointed out, regulating content. You are, in some way, protecting the public interest. I think that's paramount. I think we have to have a great deal of respect for the First Amendment. It is a cornerstone of our democratic society. There's absolutely no question about that. But until you or anybody else starts telling people that what they write is inadmissible, I don't think that that in itself is going to be an issue. And I would not be put off by the threat of litigation. The threat of litigation is one thing. To carry it out and prevail is entirely another. Now, these boxes have been regulated in many different areas. We have places here in South Carolina where they've been regulated. I don't know of any legal action that's been brought against these people. If you go up to the Columbia, to the airport, I think there are only a couple of boxes there, and they're down in the baggage area. Must be a reason they don't have more. I think what council has proposed is a reasonable compromise. I think that most people should be happy with that. We need to do something to prevent 40 or 50 boxes, as Mrs. Price has indicated, lined up. We've seen them in front of the post office or in Pat's. And that will inevitably be the case if there is not some compromise. I think it's a common sense issue. Mm-hmm. And the publishers of these various publications have an interest. I think they do provide a service in many cases. I do question whether somebody from Augusta who's selling used cars is using our public thoroughfares as a means to do that. He pays no taxes. I don't think Mr. Wells would like somebody from Augusta coming down and putting a rack in front of his store advertising products that would compete with him at a much lower price. I don't think that would be very fair. So I think, again, it's a common sense issue, and it should be approached in that way. And I think what the council has proposed is eminently fair, and it should be tried. And I would not be put off by extreme arguments on the First Amendment.
Thank you, sir.
Carla Cloud, Executive Director of the Aiken Downtown Development Association. And just so you'll know, from the point of view of the businesses, not so much that they have racks out in front of their particular business and it has not been removed. However, as a whole, the businesses have given the indication that they would like to see something more appealing downtown than the various boxes that are there now. They like the idea of having something uniform. And also, I speak at different organizations, so I also hear the consumer response, and they too have asked, when are you going to do something about cleaning up the newspaper racks downtown? So on both sides, I have heard people say that they do like the uniformity. I've also heard this argument about the First Amendment rights, and I'm with Mr. DeWore. I don't see where we're telling anybody what they can or cannot say, but we are saying let's work together. And I think for the publishers, they should also take into consideration what our downtown businesses and our consumers want, and to be a good neighbor and to work together. So I think us putting these racks out is only going to be a positive thing. We're not going to try to tell anybody what they can or cannot put in there, but the businesses and a lot of the citizens that have spoken to me have been for this.
Thank you very much. Anyone else?
Mr. Mayor.
Sure, thank you.
I'll try to be brief.
a lawyer brief?
Compared to some of the other speakers. Jim Holly, office address 111 Park Avenue. I represent Southeastern Newspapers, which operates the Augusta Chronicle and other newspapers and publications. Just a couple points of clarification. The distribution of newspapers is protected by the First Amendment, as is the content. If you can't distribute, the content's meaningless because no one gets it. Whether or not a particular attempt to regulate a newspaper distribution passes First Amendment muster depends on the facts of the case, the facts of the regulation. Some have been upheld, some have been struck down. One at the Atlanta airport was struck down a number of years ago. So it just depends. And my client, while this, they would prefer not to have this ordinance, they're willing to give it time and see how it works. And the key is access. Mm-hmm. When people, as I said last time I was here, once you tell a publication they cannot have access, that's when a problem may develop. But I think staff is trying to work toward dealing with that. And we do sincerely appreciate their time. We may not agree with every aspect of it, but they've certainly been cooperative, everybody involved, and listened to our concerns, and we do appreciate that. But again, there are First Amendment rights impinged by this. It's just a question, if it ever has to be litigated, whether it stands up to muster or not. But we're concerned with trying to work with the city and have something that is generally acceptable. And as long as we have access to that medium, I think my client will be satisfied.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim, very much. Anyone else? Okay, back to City Council for consideration, first reading.
Mr. Mayor, I would like to ask a question of any of the members in the audience who actually might be producers of newspapers, if there is anything in the ordinance that they object to in its current form. We've been working on this a long time, and I just wondered if any of them object, if they produce a newspaper, if any of them object to what we have done, if they think it's unfair, if they feel that we have in some way tried to restrict their getting out the newspapers or the papers, that publications that they have, that at least I can know who they are and work between now and the next reading, if there is a next reading.
Roseanne Covell, The Real Estate Book, 2295 Banks Mill Road. The only two concerns that I really have, again, thanking Roger and Bill for all their work, because they have been very open to our opinions. The only two things that I have concern about, I know you were talking about people aren't removing the racks and the store owners don't like the racks in front of their stores, but there are still going to be racks in front of some people's stores. Mm-hmm. And what if they have questions, like, you know, I know Pat's is in agreement and the post office seems to be okay, but what if, you know, some of these proposed locations, those store owners still don't want those racks in front of it, because they're not going to be little things, you know, they're going to still be big racks so that they cannot accommodate everybody. And the other concern that I have is, I know that the Chronicle's here represented, I know that Bella, The Real Estate Book, and I know that Aiken Standard has been in on all the meetings. My concern for the city anyway is, and I know you're going to try to have extra racks or accommodate other people, but my concern is when you put those racks up, and then now you've got the New York Times that has not been at those meetings, or the State, or the car magazines that have not been there, and they have been invited to come. And you can say, okay, well, they've been invited, but when it finally becomes an action, then will they step up then? So just be able to accommodate everybody.
So your concern is that there are owners that have not been participating in the discussions that
That's
may
correct.
Come up and say, I need
That's
five
correct.
Boxes and you've only given me two.
Or you've not given any at this point. May 15th is our date to come to, well, it was the proposed date. May 15th is to come to the city and say, we need these many boxes. And for me, it's great. You know, I can go say, I want this many, or the Aiken Standard, or the Augusta Chronicle, or Bella, because we've been involved in it. But what about these other people that have not been involved? And do they come at May 15th, or do they wait when the boxes are out and then say, oh, hey, why can't my box be here anymore? You know, what'd you do with my box? That would be my concern. How do you get across to all those other entities that are out there already in front of the post office, all the other newspapers that are out there. Because I'm sure the state will, hey, why is my paper not out here anymore? The New York Times or whatever else is out there.
We have contacted, in fact, at various times there have been, like I remember at one meeting we had USA Today. And
but they haven't been back.
We did have Columbia, the state paper. But, you know, should council decide to pass this on second reading, again, before we order boxes, we'll be notifying all the different publishers that are currently out there, letting them know that this is what's going to take place and asking them how many boxes should we reserve for their particular publication, and giving them the approximate rate of cost per year. You know, what we say is there, you know, initially with 11 locations, we feel there'll be plenty of boxes. What's going to come into be a problem in future years is the fact if a new publication comes, are we going to be able to accommodate them right away? The answer is, you know, within a reasonable period of time, we feel we'll be able to accommodate them. We are placing the fact that literally if one's not careful, you could almost wind up with boxes in front of every storefront. And so we do have the limitation of, I believe it's 400 feet between these different modules. So there would be some spacing in between it. You know, we've been trying to work with the various individuals. Again, if somebody wants to put on private property next to New Moon, for example, that alleyway, roadway, whatever you want to call it, the city doesn't own that. That's private property. So people put out as many as they want to, as long as the private property owner is agreeable to that. That private property owner is Century 21 U. Lee Sally.
Laissez-faire. Sotheby's. There's a little alcove also.
Yeah, so there's some alcoves where people could put them in. Again, we would not be restricting that because that's private property. Mm-hmm. So this is, again, only on public property. Do I expect there to be decisions and concerns that will be having to be met in the future? Yes, there will be. And that's where hopefully, again, we'll be able to sit down with the various publishers and work with them so that we're dealing with everybody very fairly. Because that's, as Mr. Smith would probably tell you privately, that's going to be the key, is that we're dealing with people in a very fair, reasonable manner.
Right, with respect.
As I said earlier when we started this whole discussion, people obviously would like to receive those publications, whether they're looking for an apartment or for a house or for a car, or they just want to read a newspaper. They're looking for those things. And most of us, when we've been in other communities, we've wanted the same thing, you know, looking for news about that community we were in. And so it is a valuable, something of value for everybody. And so we do want to accommodate them. It's how do we accommodate them? That's the gist of what we have tried to put in here. I know Councilwoman Clyburn, you said, is there anything in here that's objectionable whatsoever? I'm sure we could spend a lot of time on different mm-hmm. things that, you know, Mr. Holly and I have a lot of discussions on this, traded probably dozens of emails back and forth over the last few weeks and months, and been in discussion with several other ones. You know, and there is concern, because anytime there's a change, anytime there's some unknown things, there always will be a concern. We may be coming back to you 6 months later and saying, we really need to consider changing a few of these aspects once we get some experience with this. But we have talked to several cities that have the same similar type of arrangements, and once you get past the initial stage, it has worked out well for everybody.
And as a publisher,
past that initial stage.
And as a publisher, I'm sure the other publishers are thankful that the, you know, city's going to put the money out front instead of coming out of other people's mm-hmm. pockets and paying back. Now, you might have the private sector, you know, questioning that also too. You
know, I guess my point is that we've been dealing with this for so long, and it could just be me, but I hope not. But it appears to me from all the discussions we've had that the city as a body has been willing to work with the publishers to make sure that we don't infringe on anybody's rights. Maybe we haven't always done exactly what they've wanted, but I have always felt that we have been working through this so that we don't have problems
with the press and with anybody feeling that we are trying to take their freedoms away. We're concerned about that as much as anybody. And I just wondered if all of you have the same feeling that we have at least been trying to work with you.
I do, but again, I just question, like the gentleman from Wagner who said that, you know, he just, you know, said that he was going to be contacted, and then he just got the proposal today. And again, I'm not really concerned with the group here, because I think now we've kind of come to a consensus, and Roger and Bill, again, all their hard work. But again, right. Those other entities that, you know, did they come to the table today, hey, you know, I haven't been contacted or whatever, even if they have been contacted, but, you know, that's your concern.
I think the question has to be, have we made contact with the publishers that have racks right now? And if we have, and you all have had meetings, they have not attended, we cannot afford, I think, to wait until we get 100% response.
I agree with that. I just agree that
people like yourself have been interested enough that you've engaged yourself. And I am certain that once we get these boxes up, we're going to hear from someone with raising their hand saying, I didn't know, and that may be the case that they knew, but they just didn't open their mail. That wasn't important then. It's only when something happens that it resonates, hey, this is important, I better act on this right now. Right. So I'm sure we'll see that, but as Roger and the mayor has said, I think this is not in stone. This is going to change, I'm sure, quite a few times before we get it right. If we think we're getting it right the first time, I think we're being naive. We've got it.
Right.
We're going to have modifications in this ordinance.
And I guess maybe one other modification might be, like, if somebody does put another rack out there that's not kosher to what's being put up, what do we do with that person? What do you say to that person? Because I don't think that provision was in there. If somebody put another rack in, would you immediately go remove it? Or what provision would
we would certainly notify them, and then within a certain number of days, we'd have removed.
Okay. And that might be put in the ordinance. But again, that's it.
I'm sorry, what did you say? What do you put in the ordinance?
Well, I don't know. Just the provision, if somebody does put a rack out there, you've got your nice, beautiful modulars out there, and now somebody comes and they put a pink one out, or a yellow or blue. Sorry, Bella. I'm sorry. Or orange, or chartreuse, or with polka dots. What do you say to that person? And then they say, well, hey, there's no space for me. I'm putting my rack out here.
Do we cover that?
Maybe just have a cover your bases with that.
The ordinance does make it clear that nobody other than the city of Aiken can place a rack in the city right-of-way in the central business district.
I think in Charleston, if there's not space, they can put like a rack that's the same color or something like that. Am I correct on that? Until there's space for them to put one. Their rack is the same color, they can put it out there until there's space available. So then they've covered themselves that way in Charleston.
Okay. Well, apparently our ordinance isn't like that.
Well, I don't think I don't think there's any provision in there if somebody comes and sticks another thing.
Yes.
What do we do?
I think attorney just mentioned the fact that
our ordinance says nobody other than the city can place those racks in the right of way in the
central. Okay, I gotcha.
Let me just add that we are not unreasonable, folks.
And I understand that.
And if, let's just say, four or five people came to the city, the city manager, city council, if it will eventually get to us, that they have an interest in putting their racks up, we're going to look at that. We're not going to ignore them and say, hey, go away, we've got enough racks. But this is one of the most open understanding group that really wants to hear from the public than I've ever seen in any government. So this is what you have here.
Well, so. You just got to stay here for 25 years. So.
Okay. Roseanne, thank you. Okay.
Mr. Mayor, I just would have two comments. Number one, I was glad to listen to Carla support the need for the racks. And the other concern I have is that if we pass this to second reading, between now and the second reading, I'd like to make sure that we, given the amount of money we're going to spend, that the publishers that have not participated in the process, that we at least get their buy-in, rather than wait until the ordinance is implemented and then discover that we've got two or three major papers, whether it's the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times, etc., that are not willing to participate and want to play hardball with the freedom of press issue.
I think that's a good idea.
Well, again, we won't know that and probably until the time we're going to have to pay the money. Again, we've been notifying everybody that currently has a publication about these meetings, what we're going to do, and we have not heard from them. Again, what you see represented, though, is probably 90% of the publications. You know, a few of them, the Atlanta Constitution, Wall Street Journal, and a couple of the other ones that are major but out of town, we have not heard from, and probably will not. But so, I mean, we wait to hear from them.
Dick, I think you're saying that maybe we should...
We need to be more proactive with them, in my opinion, because they're the folks that can be showstoppers.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, we can let them know that we're going to do this and we don't hear from them in the next 10 days. But again, I'm not too sure if we hear from them what we need to do then.
Well, my sense is we're trying to get the buy-in from all of the people involved, and that's my only concern. It may not be a problem. I hope it isn't.
Well, I think if we pass this on first reading, then we can get the word out to them that where we are in the process, at least. We could go to those people again, Roger.
We certainly can.
And tell them, okay, we passed on first reading. We're going to have second reading on such and such date. And, you know, if you have any comments, you may want to either send them to us or come to the meeting or whatever.
Mr. Mayor, I want to entertain a motion.
I'm sorry. You make a motion?
Yes.
Okay.
That we adopt this news rack ordinance on first reading in the Central Business District, and we prepare for the second reading and public hearing at the next scheduled meeting.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, I'll second that.
Okay. Thank you. Any other discussion?
Oh, I'm going to vote for this, but I'll tell you, it's a real problem. It's been very good debate out there tonight, yeah. And as I listened to it all, I sat here and had the thought, these may be modular racks, but they have inflicted as much pain as the medieval ones. I think it's really... But nonetheless, I am going to move it on to second reading.
Okay, any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please, all in favor. Okay, passes unanimously. Okay, second item, resolution accepting donation property at the corner of East Pine Log Road and South Centennial Avenue and the detention pond as well. Mr. LeDuc.
Yes, sir. And before we get to this next one, because I know there's a number of publishers that may be leaving before we get to the next meeting date,
okay.
I do not know when this will be on for second reading at this point in time until we set our meeting schedule in January. But we will certainly let each and every one of you know when that is. It may be January 7th, 14th, or 21st, but more than likely, let me say this. We will not have this on the first, whatever that date is. We will schedule this second reading for January 28th. That'll give plenty of time and notice for all the publishers around the United States that may want to know about this to react, especially with the holidays coming up. I would be concerned trying to let them know what's going on, and with mail and people being on vacation and everything else, not having time. So second reading would be on January 28th. Okay? If council doesn't mind that.
Okay.
Give me that.
All right.
Okay. Sorry, sir.
Okay.
This next item is something hopefully that council has been asking for and looking for us to do. And that is to try to find other properties within the city limits or around the city where people would like to donate to the city for open space, green space. We had an individual who we worked with many, many years ago when Corporate Parkway and Centennial went in behind Aiken High School, South Aiken High School. And the large complex, the office space, was put in. Estates Incorporated out of Columbia helped build that road and put a detention pond. And one of the pieces of property that they had left over was a long pine log road leading back to Churchill Commons. And so this would be on the southeast side of the road. One side of it has a great big drainage ditch on it. The other side is Churchill Commons. The other side is Pine Log Road. They would like to donate this to the city. And also, they have a detention pond, which we've been trying to get them to donate to us for years because it serves shops at Whiskey. It also serves the Gold's Gym area and the Social Security building and several other properties along Corporate Parkway that, again, we felt it would be good if the city owned it so that it could be maintained properly, since there is always a question as if the pump station fails back there, who's going to maintain it? So they are willing to come and give to the city to deed us the detention pond and to go ahead and donate this piece of property consisting of 3.29 acres. So before you tonight is a resolution to accept this donation of land and to accept the deed of dedication of the pump station and detention pond behind the shops at Whiskey that's jointly used by several commercial properties.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion?
I so move, Mr. Mayor, that we approve this resolution.
Second.
Okay. We have a second. Any discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Passes unanimously. Item 3, approval of the jury box for 2008.
Yes, sir. Typically, we do this in January, but because we now hold court every Friday with either livability or jury trials, we wanted to go ahead and get this before you now so you could approve it. Sarah then could set it up, and we could start selecting jurors on a random basis for court dates in January. We have a total of approximately 15,615 registered voters in Aiken as of, I think, this was just last week when you got this number, so this is pretty much up to date. There are two compartments, A and B. Compartment A has all the names in it. Once they're selected, then they go into compartment B, and they don't get selected again for the rest of the year. Yes, your names are in there. I've had my son called up and other ones. Very disappointed he was not selected, but he's a college student. So. But we're asking for your approval tonight to go ahead and to approve the preparation of the jury box for 2008.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second?
So moved.
Okay. Second.
Okay. Second. Any discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Passes unanimously. Okay. We added an item. Whether or not the first meeting in January, whether we want to change that date because of Martin Luther Day, Martin Luther King's Day.
Yes, sir.
Now, does that, I just want to ask questions. Does that bother, is it on that day, the 14th?
The 14th of January is the official Martin Luther King Day. City offices are closed on that day. That doesn't mean we can't open them up that night and to have our department heads come to that meeting. I mean, they generally go home anyways and come back. But I also know that they're generally on the evening of Martin Luther King Day. There are a number of events that take place at churches and the university, Aiken Tech, and other places. Some of you attend those events. I also recognize, though, that we're not having any other meetings later this month, and I really don't prefer not to go from December 10th to January 28th with our next meeting. That'd be 6 weeks. The first Monday of the month is a little later than normal in January. It's January 7th. Yeah. What I'd like to recommend to you is, and I asked Sarah, I said, do you ever remember us changing from the second Monday to either the first or the third? We couldn't find any, but there's really no reason we couldn't do it that way.
All right.
As long as council approves it. So I'd like to make the recommendation that we shift our meeting that typically would be the second Monday of January and make the first Monday in January to move to January 7th. That way we'll have still plenty of time to get our notices out for any public hearings we may have and to let the public know. If there was any major items that people might get confused because we are changing the date, I will hold those off till the 28th. But there are some items that are on the agenda with the Planning Commission tomorrow that I'd like to at least get first reading and get the process going. Like I said, with the newspaper racks, we will hold that off till the second meeting to avoid any confusion. So my recommendation to you would be to cancel the meeting from the second Monday and hold our first meeting in January, and the first Monday, which is January 7th.
Okay. Is that okay with everyone?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Can we take a vote?
Well, let's, yeah. Do we have a motion and a second?
So moved. A second, Jane.
Okay. All in favor, show of hands, please. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Unanimously.
I'm sorry that wasn't on the agenda, but I, frankly, last year, Martin Luther King Day was on the third Monday, for whatever reason, so.
Okay. Petitions. Request for extension of the sanitary sewer for the area at Owen Street and Whiskey Road.
Yes. We are making a petition to you. No one else is, but the city staff is making a petition. We haven't done this for a number of years, but it falls into if somebody was looking at developing an impact fee to take care of a particular service that we provide, this is a true example of this. We have a number of individuals that will need sewer or need sewer right now in the area that's shown on the attached map. Basically, it's in surrounding Owens from Whiskey Road on the east to almost Nielsen on the west, just below Doherty Road and up to where that motorcycle shop is at. It's several acres. We have gotten some estimates of what the sewer will cost. There's a wide range because some people have included the patching and the repaving of roads, some have not. But our intent would be to run the sewer from approximately the Sonics area down to Doherty Road, which would then serve this entire acreage. And we would go ahead and request that the council would approve tonight a fee of $15,000 per acre to pay back this amount of money. If the entire acreage that we feel could be served by this all comes in within the next several years, we will get back our money in full plus a little bit more. We did this, probably the last one we did that when we looked at it was we upfronted and put in sewer lines throughout Virginia Acres, just east of H.O. Weeks, Virginia Acre Park. And over the years, we have gotten several dozen non-residents that annex to the area for that sewer provision. And so this is the same case here, and I feel it will be money well spent in years to come and provide the necessary service to serve these areas. So for your consideration tonight, this is approval of a sewer user fee for the area surrounding Owen Street off of Whiskey Road at $15,000 an acre. In addition, they will be paying any impact fee that you normally would have. The impact fee goes to buy capacity at the treatment facility. So let's say a large restaurant went in there and their usage would amount to needing to pay us $2,000 in any other area of the city. They would continue to pay $2,000 plus this user fee based on a per acre basis. I hope I didn't confuse anybody on that last analysis.
Okay. All right. Do we have a motion? Second.
So moved, Mr. Mayor, that we approve this user fee for the area surrounding Owen Street.
Okay.
Second.
So you have a second? Okay. Any discussion?
I have a question. How many acres are we talking about?
So I got the note right here. We're serving approximately 17.22 acres. And I say approximately because we don't know how far on the other side, because we haven't surveyed it, but we know on the other side of Doherty Road where the bowling alley is at.
Mm-hmm.
From that point, you start going uphill towards where Publix is at. So you'd have to have a lift station if you're trying to get into the Publix area. This area should be able to go gravity towards the Sonics area. Again, we don't know exactly how far towards Nielsen we'll be able to go. We might be able to capture the entire area, but we feel there will be at least 17 acres or more that we'll be able to serve with this.
Is this land in the city?
The land is not. We have one property that's annexed now. That's the Walgreens.
Yes.
We have another one that's going before the Planning Commission tomorrow night. That's that strip shop center that you have approved water and sewer to.
The other end of the block from the Walgreens.
Several months ago. Mm-hmm. And we have had a inquiry for a business at the corner of Owens where it kind of turns off of Whiskey Road. So we're anticipating several more properties to come in, and as they want our sewers, they want our water, they would annex to the city. So in the future...
Oh, so they won't get water and sewer unless they're annexed to the city.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay.
Or at least sign the petition. If for some reason they're not contiguous today, like that one at Owens was not
sure.
contiguous, they would come back later.
Okay.
All right, we got a motion and a second. Show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Okay, could we quickly revisit the issue on the county letter that's going to be written? Roger's going to try to have a letter by early afternoon. Is that right?
Well, I'm going to dictate it as soon as we get done here. And so as soon as Sarah could type it, and I'll have a review.
Okay.
Then I hope by late morning we'd get out.
Okay.
But I would like to see approval by a certain time so I could hand deliver that letter to the county.
Okay. I'll be in Columbia until about 2:30. But if everybody else gets it earlier and sends comments,
email me mine at repclyburn@aol.com.
Can you get that down, Sarah? Did you get that?
R.E.P. Clyburn.
Representative Clyburn
at AOL.com.
Okay.
Okay, so try to get comments back.
And if somebody cannot get it by email tomorrow for some reason, let me know. We can always hand deliver you a copy if we have to.
If we could get it back to Roger by 3, you could finalize. Then
all those comments and hand delivered by 4.
And I'll sign. Is that okay with everybody? Okay. And we'll get
it
over there. We'll get it over there to them. Much prior to their meeting. What time is their meeting, by the way? When they talk about
they're going to have the pre-meeting. Generally starts somewhere. Some start as early as 5. Some start at 6. And this is with the I want to say it's the administrative group, which consists of Gary Bunker. I want to say Ronnie Young.
Well, we ought to be able to get it over there by maybe 4:30, 5 o'clock anyway.
So, and I'll let Clay Killian know it's coming.
Okay. All right. Great.
And individual members of the council could go there and speak?
Oh, certainly. Anybody can go. I assume they have open meetings with their administrative committees. They should. Anyway. Okay, we stand adjourned then. Thank you, everybody.
Did you reschedule your meeting?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we even voted.